Welcome to Menopause Summit 09. This is Lila Bryan, and I am going to have Carol Cross introduce our next speaker.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Carol Cross, and I'd like to introduce Kim Kirksey-Toth. She is of Positive Aging, Inc., and is an ACC, CMC, ICF certified life coach, as well as a licensed clinical social worker. She has a highly diverse professional background, which includes over 23 years in private practice. Kim's coaching clients are midlife women in transition, and she works with work-life balance and empowering positive change. Kim is a gifted intuitive coach with a successful coaching business that encourages her clients to move forward, supports their dreams, and gently inspires them into a future and lifestyle they never thought possible. She's a senior faculty member of Mentor Coach, an ICF International Coach Federation accredited coach training program. Kim is a graduate of Dr. Martin Siegelman's Authentic Happiness Coaching Program, using positive psychology as a framework for change. She is an author, a speaker, a radio guest, and workshop and telecast leader. She taught at the local community college and internationally as a trainer for Mentor Coach. She loves helping students grow their coaching business and developing successful coaching practices that fit their current needs, including those baby boomers in re-careering mode. In addition to her professional life, Kim is an avid skier, has traveled the world, and is an enthusiastic practitioner of hot yoga and power yoga. She lives in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, surrounded by plenty of open space to walk her two golden retrievers. Most meaningful is her family. She has a husband and two daughters, both who are graduates of college now, I believe, and from them she has learned what is truly important in her life. Welcome, warmest welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Carol.
So, Kim, this is Lila again, and so tell me, I think you really walk your walk with talking to women that are transitioning from in this transition stage. So tell me about your 23-year practice and how you've actually transitioned out of it.
Well, yeah, thanks for asking, Lila. It's pretty exciting for me. A little scary, but I think I planned well enough for it. It was a slow transition. I have been, as Carol said, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been in private practice for 23 years, which is a long time, and I've been in my same office for 23 years. And I think one of the things that got to me a few years ago was when I realized that I was pregnant with my youngest daughter when I got into that office, and she has now graduated from college as of this May. So it's like
wow.
Her whole life I was still sitting in my same office.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's kind of it.
A lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, it kind of was an eye-opener. It's like, man, yeah. Her whole life. So about four or five years ago, I decided to take some coaching classes and just loved it and got certified as a life coach, and now I'm teaching at Mentor Coach, which is a ICF coach certified training program. Mm-hmm. It's primarily for therapists and other helping professionals who want to move on into a coaching career, although it's kind of branched out a little and there's more people that are joining it, because I think they have excellent programs.
Mm-hmm.
So as of 3 weeks ago, I saw my last therapy clients.
Wow. And was huge. That hard to do?
I probably made it harder than it needed to be, just because I'm such a sap, and I didn't mm-hmm. want to say goodbye to people. I mean, I hadn't taken on a new therapy client in over a year, and I was only seeing people every other week.
Mm.
So, you know, but it's hard. You get real attached to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they knew it was coming. They had plenty of warning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a different path right now, and that's a good thing. It's been exciting. It's been a little scary, but I really needed to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to work well past whatever age. I love to work, and I need to love what I do. And doing the same thing just wasn't fitting for me. And managed care was eating me alive.
Mm-hmm.
It was time.
Right. And so when people make changes, you were explaining the other day about the difference between change and the difference between change and transition. Can you explain what that is?
Sure, because I think it's something that people get a little confused about sometimes, and they think they're the same thing, but they really aren't the same thing. Change is a one-time occurrence. It's something that's external from us. So we change our clothes, we change our jobs, we change where we live. So it's a shift from one person, one place, or one thing to something else. Mm-hmm. So you might move to a new house, you might move to a new city or a new state or a new country. So it's something that happens one time only. Now, it may be something that's self-imposed on us, not voluntarily. It may be something we choose to do, but it also may be something that's imposed upon us, such as if we get fired from a job or we have the death of a loved one. Those are not things we choose, but it's still change, and it still is a one-time occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then transition.
Transition happens over a long period of time or longer period of time, so it's an ongoing experience. Mm-hmm. And it's also internal as opposed to external. A lot of times in transitions, it means letting go of how things are. Like, I had to let go of my therapy practice, the security I had in that, the same place every day for 23 years. I had to let go of that, which is part of why it took me so long to do it, because it was difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've moved, your transition would be your new neighbors, you have to drive a new route to work, you have new experiences in your neighborhood. So it's something that happens over a period of time. It often precedes change.
Mm-hmm.
So we think about it, like, I think I'm going to leave my therapy practice. We process it. I go through what all those steps I need to do that. And then we do it, and we go to something else. So you may think about leaving your job, and you think, and you process, and then you quit, and you apply for a new job. Or you're in a relationship and you're thinking about, this might be a good one for me. I think this guy is the man of my dreams. And then you decide to invite him over to dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's really important is that you have support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're around people that support you in your transition.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, if they're, you know, I think that's a crazy idea, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of, what are you, nuts? If you really believe that what you're doing is the right thing for you, then you need to push those people away.
Mm-hmm.
Because those naysayers are not helpful to you.
Right.
You know, and so that's, you know, for the transition to be something that's a positive, those people can't be part of it.
Right.
You know, it's a real inner process that people go through in order to come to terms with the change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they have to let go of the way of things that they're used to be and reorient themselves to where things are now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and it takes a period of time, just like women going through menopause. I've had a lot of people say, well, when does it start? When does it end? How do you know when you're getting close to the end? And it is like an internal job to go through that process of change.
Well, and I was looking up some statistics before this call, and I came up with that 30 million girls were born in the U.S. between 1946 and 64.
Mm-hmm.
So now 2 million of them each year are entering menopausal phase of life. 2 million.
Wow.
That's huge.
It is.
You know, and the difference is, as you know, and all your other speakers will talk about, is that we're not a docile group.
No.
We're not a do as you told, ask no question women.
Right. There's even a book out called the noisy passage, baby boomers do menopause.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that. That's great.
Yes, funny.
That's great. No, well, we just want to be involved. We want a lot of information. We want to know what our options are. We want to know, we want to participate in any decision making that has to go along with us or people or, you know, that we care about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important that we have the information that we need to navigate this phase of our life, which for some people is more challenging than others.
And what's amazing now is we have all the people on the internet to help us out, and we have speakers and all kinds of support that we need to, if anyone needs support during any time in their life, I think it's during menopause. I'm 61 now, and I already went through it and did the whole thing, but it was the one time I really wanted the support from you know, to make that transition. It's important.
Yeah. What was the most helpful for you, do you think?
Pardon me?
What was the most helpful to you? See, now I'm asking you questions.
Yes. Well, it was knowing what was menopause and what could I do to help. What were some of the symptoms? Like, there was one time when my feet really, I felt like my feet were, I was walking on concrete, and my feet just hurt so much. And I thought, the whole time I was going through menopause, I thought it was just a menopause symptom, but I could never find anybody else that had this.
I never heard of that one.
I know. And as it turned out, I get it back again. I'm 61, and I get this, my foot hurt again. And I thought, oh, no, I'm getting menopause again or something. And here it turns out I went to the doctor. I have plantar fasciitis, so it wasn't even part of menopause. And all this time I thought it was. So I think knowing, being able to look up on the Internet, I had the option of being able to do that and finding out, is this really part of menopause or is it something else?
Mm-hmm.
And,
you think of the grief you could have saved yourself.
I know. And so it was, so knowing all, having all these things that, is this part of menopause? Can you do something about it? What should I take for it? You know, should I use, I was able to use bioidentical hormones, and it was when they were, people weren't even, hadn't even coined that name yet, but I did use the, you know, I didn't go through the hormone replacement therapy or anything like that. I just used it for a little period of time. So tell me what, there are some steps that you have and that'll help people tool through transitions. And so I think you said you have, what, 7 steps?
Actually, I didn't count them.
Oh, okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess I did have 7.
Oh, okay. So what are some helpful tools?
The first thing that I ask all my clients to do, and I do this with individual clients as well as people in any of my programs, is I have people take the VIA. That stands for Values in Action.
Okay.
And you can find that assessment. It's like a 25-minute assessment. You can go to www.authentichappiness.com.
AuthenticHappiness.com. Okay.
And you'll have to put in your name and your email address.
Uh-huh.
So you can log in. And there's a whole, this is a from Authentic Happiness, from the book that Marty Seligman wrote, and I did a whole coach training program with him.
Oh.
And there's a multitude of questionnaires and assessments on that website, and they're all free.
Excellent. That'll be fun.
So it's really fun to I've taken a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I would suggest people start out with is the VIA, Values in Action.
Okay.
And after you get done taking it, it'll pop up your top 5 signature strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, if I, you know, keep taking it, will I have to come up with different strengths over time? And my experience is, and I've had my girls take it when they were teenagers, and now they're older, is that if you take it at one time and then you try some of the exercises, you find somebody who knows about positive psychology and is skilled in it, and there's quite a few of us around, and there's mm-hmm. different exercises that you can do to help boost some of the strengths that you would like to see higher, like your gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
There are exercises you can do to improve that piece. But you will find after a while, I could take it now probably every week, and they would all still pop up the same.
Mm.
So, but it's a very reliable, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a self-diagnosis thing, but it really, my experience, and it's been tested and tested and tested all over the world, it's very accurate, very powerful. So anyway, you come up with your top five strengths, and my suggestion is that you be sure that you use those strengths, at least one of those strengths, every single day.
Okay. So, like, what are a couple of your strengths that pop up?
My strengths are, I should have looked these up. My strengths are optimism,
uh-huh.
Gratitude,
mm-hmm.
to love and be loved,
mm-hmm.
Zest and enthusiasm, and I think the other one is love of learning.
Mm. I like that one, too.
Well, you should. Have you ever taken the VIA?
No, I want to take that.
You should do it. I mean,
yeah.
I really, like I said, I have everybody do it.
Uh-huh.
It's just part of the deal. But
well,
the key
and I
is,
admit you, I can attest to that you are optimism and zestful and optimistic. I mean, so that's great. So then what do you do?
They fit.
What you do is you use those strengths then.
Yeah, what I suggest to people is you write them down on like a little sticky pad, post-it notes, put them up on your computer screen, put them up on the mirror in your bathroom, keep one in your wallet or your purse somewhere, and if you're ever just feeling really funky and blah and life's a drag and whatever, just feeling overall crummy, take mm-hmm. a look at those and pick
okay.
one that you can use to help get you out of that crummy spot you're in.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds so simplistic, I know, but it really does work. So every day, so the first one is take the VIA. The second one is to use your strengths, as many as you can, every single day.
Okay.
Because if you go through your whole day and you haven't used any of those, you are not living up to your values.
Right.
And it's when we don't live up to our values that things just feel icky.
Mm-hmm.
Things just feel heavy and slow and, you know, it's just not a good place to be.
Right. So incorporate that.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's three?
It's to, and I mentioned this earlier, but surround yourself with people that love and support you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just so critical. And it doesn't have to be thousands of people. It can be just a couple people that are really near and dear to your heart and know who you are, understand who you are, or accept who you are, whether they understand it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They just accept who you are as a person and really stay away from people with negative energy. Even if you have to say to them, I love you and I adore you, but I just am not, I cannot be around you right now.
Right.
Because the energy that you have, you know, when you're, you know, not supporting me or being negative about what I'm trying to do is very unhelpful to me, and I cannot be near you right now.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I teach people how to quit smoking, and a lot of times people don't know how to support someone that's quitting smoking. And what they will do is they'll nag them or they'll do something else. And so I just tell my students to tell them that doesn't support me. And
right.
then you have to kind of tell them what does support what
That's
does
right.
support you.
Because people and often don't know what to do.
They don't.
You know, and sometimes they feel like they're just giving you good advice or they're just trying to be helpful.
Right.
And they're not.
And nagging doesn't help, so they need to be told, and they have this shock look on their face like, It doesn't. It doesn't support, but you need to, or people need to tell other people what it is that will support you, because people aren't mind readers. They don't know.
That's right. And if you're like me, anyway, and I don't know if you're like this, Leela, but sometimes if people push me too hard in one way, I just go totally the opposite. I just become so adolescent.
That's right.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people do that. It's like, don't you dare push me, because you're going to be really surprised at what you get.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's going to be fun. Okay, so
number four is to live in the present and for the future. You know, if we've had a huge loss, you know, if we've lost a spouse or lost a parent or lost a job, I know those are different levels, but they're all loss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine to spend time grieving. I mean, we all have to grieve. That's a have-to thing. That's not something that we can avoid. But at some point, we need to move through that grieving process and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on what we're doing today and tomorrow, which is our future.
Right.
And to really look ahead at what we have to offer the world and what the world has to offer us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we put on those blinders like it's so easy to do, we really miss out.
Right. And sometimes, you know, I know that for years and years you've called yourself, you know, or you've worked as a retirement coach. And a lot of times I think when people are talking about retirement, they're living in the future so much that they don't really enjoy the present.
Well, and I don't even use the word retirement coach anymore. That's like a nasty.
Use it anymore.
It's like a nasty word.
I know. Because a lot of us want to keep working.
Well, and a lot of us want to. Like, I want to. I mean, that's why I changed careers, because I knew that I would want to continue working, but it needed to be in something different. I also know probably that I'm going to need to, just because of, you know, I lost 3/4 of my portfolio, like most of us did.
Mm-hmm.
So retirement is way down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a 77-year-old stepfather who still works. He's an estate planning attorney. He still has clients. And that's what, I mean, thank goodness he does, because when my mom died a few years ago, that just saved him.
Uh-huh.
So there's so many positive things about working, as long as you're doing something that you're really passionate about, as long as it's something you really love.
Right.
And for him, that's it.
Mm-hmm. So living in the future, living in the present, but planning
and for the future. Yeah.
For the future, yes. Okay.
The other one I have is don't hide, which may sound kind of silly, but a lot of times when we're going through a transition that's difficult, if we're grieving, it's really easy to hide and to isolate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt that we don't need a certain amount of that. We do. I think everybody does. We just need that private time. But the other piece is, if we hide too much, we isolate too much, that's not healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Too much isolation can actually be deadly. It can be very dangerous for us.
And especially for women. I think men tend to do a lot more hiding or sequestering themselves. And I think women probably need to have community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Women are huge on community and being surrounded by people that we love.
Right.
That's a very important piece of who we are, and it's one of the things that I love. Because I teach at MentorCoach, I love creating a sense of community with our classes, and these are all virtual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see each other. We're just voices on the phone.
Right.
And it's still absolutely amazing, the relationships and the community that is formed, even on the phone.
Right. And you and I have known each other for quite a few years now, 2 or 3 years, and we had never met until this last weekend.
I know. I know. It was very cool.
But I felt like I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in several groups together, and it makes it interesting that we can call on each other or become friends, but it's been virtual friends.
That's right.
There's a lot of people like that out there to really help women now to go through this transition of life that we're going through, and it's great.
And I have a program coming out. I think I might have talked to you about it in 2010, a program for women that will create a wonderful, close community of women. And it will be, most of it, 95% of it, will be on the phone. There will be a live retreat, but most of it will be on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still amazingly powerful.
What's the name of it?
What is the name of it?
A working title?
I'm not prepared for that one. It's a platinum program, Magical Women Inner Circle Platinum Program.
All right. Okay. Well, you'll have to tell us more about that. Let me know, and I'll let everyone know that's been on these calls about your program.
Okay. And also, I have something to offer at the end. If people get on my list,
mm-hmm.
then they will be kept up with what is upcoming, because I have a lot of good things coming up. Now that I'm not in my therapy practice, it really allows me to grow myself in other directions,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool.
Everybody look out. Here comes Kim.
Yeah, here she is, full force right now. So back to the not hiding piece. You know, mm-hmm. everybody, all of us, have so many gifts to offer
mm-hmm.
that I think we forget about sometimes, or we think nobody would be interested in, and it's just not true.
Right.
So being able to put yourself out there and let people know who you are and what your gifts are.
Yeah.
And hiding yourself out, you lose that opportunity to connect with people that are much like you.
Mhm. That's great. And I've always heard it said that the gifts that we have to offer are the easiest for ourselves. And everybody else says, oh, you did such a wonderful job of that, and you don't even notice that you can do it well because it's so easy.
Yeah, it's just part of who you are. You don't think it's any big deal. And
right.
I know I can fall into that category. I'm sure you can too.
Yes.
Okay, the next one I have is to branch out.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of the opposite of hiding, is you need to get yourself out there and meet new people. There are, depending on what transition you're going through, there is so much available these days, whether it's online or it's in person or it's in group settings or one-to-one. One of the ones that keeps popping up that I looked up, I'm doing some talks in Cincinnati in November,
mm-hmm.
four talks, and so I looked up. One of the talks I'm doing is for widows.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up meetup groups for widows in Cincinnati.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. There's tons. I mean, there are meetup groups for widows who like dogs, widows who like big dogs, small dogs, knitting, you name it. I mean, if you can't find, and Cincinnati, I don't know what the population of Cincinnati is, but it's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And every city has, you just go to meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, meetup.com or meetupgroups.com,
right.
One of those. And it will then you put in what it is you're looking for, maybe if it's from a job transition or if it's a spouse that's ill or a spouse that's passed away or a parent that's passed away. There are support groups for everybody.
Wow.
And then it breaks it down, as I was saying, into even more, you know, you like saltwater aquariums and you lost your husband.
Gee.
I mean, it probably sounds goofy talking about it, but if you're in that position and you want to become part of a group that does things that you like, what a wonderful way to step up and step out.
Right. Yeah, I've seen the meetup groups, but I've never really gone. There was one that I was going to go to, and they had a roller skating night, girls' night out, and it was kind of cool. I live in Alameda near San Francisco, so I was gonna go roller skating. And I'm thinking, 61 years old, I haven't roller skated in a long time, but it sounded fun.
You just need to wear your wrist guards and your
exactly.
knee pads.
So meetup groups would be a good thing to look into.
You know, even just joining a gym.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't joined a gym, I just switched gyms because the one I was in was by my work, by my office, and I found that I wasn't going over there anymore. It's only 5 miles away,
mm-hmm.
but I just wasn't going.
Right.
So I quit that and joined one that is like a mile from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm getting my good exercise, and I'm meeting a whole bunch of new people.
Oh, that's
mostly
great.
Women. It's all because I go during the day. It's all women.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you really have to push yourself to get out there and look. But if there's, like, if you're a knitter, I used to belong to a knitting group. You just put knitting groups in Denver in a Google search, and you'll come up with it.
Right.
So sometimes it takes a little energy on our part to do some research, but at least talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a book clubs, they're wonderful. They usually meet monthly. There's just so much available out there, but meeting new people is a wonderful way to help create your future.
And as you talked about that, it reminded me that one of the things that I did in going through menopause that was very helpful, and I learned about it from one of my friends, and she was a little bit older than me, and she had just kind of gone through menopause, and she she formed a group of women. I think she had like 6 women. They met just about every week or every other week, and they talked about menopause and what are you doing and how are you feeling and what are your symptoms, and they after they got through menopause, then they would go out for lunch every once in a while, but they became very good friends, and they supported each other because there's a lot of things that you're doing during menopause that are very foreign, and you're kind of going, do you have this, or is this happening to you, or something like that. And I know the first time, and I don't know if I think most women experiencing going through menopause will experience this, but the first time this happened to me, and it's only happened twice, I thought, I'm really losing it. But there's a thing that happens where all of a sudden you feel like you don't know what direction to turn. You're sort of lost. And I was riding with my nephew, and it's at a place where I grew up. So, I mean, I knew the whole area like the back of my hand, and I'm driving, and I'm at a stop sign, and I don't remember at that one particular moment, and it was menopause for sure, at that one particular moment, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. I didn't know which way to go. And so I looked at my nephew, and I said, now don't make fun of me, but which way do I go? Do I turn right or left? And the minute I made an action to to turn, it all came back to me, and I knew exactly where I was.
Yeah.
But it was very scary. So to be able to talk about that to other people, and they've had the same experience, was so helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, those things happen to all of us. You know, old key, losing your keys, or your glasses are on top of your head. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so branching out is good. And then number 7, right?
You know, and let me add more thing to that is, you know, sometimes, and I know I can be a victim of this, is people offer us opportunities and we just don't pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or we say, you know, oh, I don't think I'm ready for that. I was asked to do these talks in Cincinnati last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, no, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I could do that. And I said no.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went and asked somebody else who jumped on it.
And then you said, I should have done that.
I was like, well, God, Kim, what a moron you are. So this year when she asked me, I said, yes, I would love to. And mm-hmm. then I went, ugh.
What have I done?
Then I gasped. But, you know, there's a lot of, and I really try to remind myself of that there's a lot of times people will ask me to do things that are a little, even just a little out of my comfort zone. I mean, people think I'm like this very brave, courageous woman. I go out and do all these things. They're not always as easy to do as people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easier for me to ski down black diamonds with my daughters and just follow them than it is to say yes to go to another city and do talks.
Oh my
How
gosh.
Backwards is that?
Yeah.
But we all have our own things that are out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel really good that I made that decision to do that. It still doesn't. I'm still nervous about it, and I, you know, like a maniac getting myself prepared. But that's really stepping out. And I really encourage people that there are, I'm assuming that there are lots of opportunities that you have that get offered to you. They're right in front of your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, you know, you're not feeling too savvy or optimistic or together that day. And so you just say, oh, no,
mm-hmm.
not for me. But they wouldn't have asked you if they didn't think you could do it.
Right. And it wouldn't be up for you if you weren't capable of it.
That's right. I was just as capable last year of doing these talks as I am this year. Nothing has changed.
Right.
Except that I stepped up to the plate.
But now you are ready internally.
Well, talk to me the hour before I get up there. But I really encourage people that they're missing a lot of opportunities and a lot of ways to grow and to learn and to meet new people and new opportunities by just shirking from them. And there's no need to do that.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes we have to test ourselves.
Right. Move out and use your top 5 strengths.
That's right. That's right. And also, when you go to AuthenticHappiness.com and get those, you can also get your all of your 24 in a row. You can get all of them so you know kind of where they stack up.
Okay. Yeah. So there's like 25 of them and then...
There's 24.
24. Okay. And then you get your 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if people are interested in doing that, that's available to them.
Okay. And then what's number 7?
Number 7 is, this is a blessings exercise or a gratitude exercise. There's a lot of different names for it. But every night before you go to sleep, when you're all snuggled in your bed, by yourself, I mean, you can just use notebook paper if you want, but, you know, treat yourself. Do something special. Make it pretty. They have such beautiful journals these days.
Mm-hmm.
And write down in your journal 3 good things that happened to you that day. 3
okay.
things that you're grateful for. And they don't have to be huge, you know, I won the lottery. It can be you know, I met a friend for coffee, and I was just so grateful for her friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful that I was able to get up this morning and go downstairs and make myself a cup of coffee. Grateful that whatever. It doesn't have to be big.
Right.
And then in addition to that, write down why they happened. Because I think we forget that piece.
Oh, now what does that mean?
Well, I'm grateful for my friend that I met for coffee. And it happened because I called her up and asked her.
Oh, okay.
Or she called me up and asked me, and I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just taking it one step further.
Okay.
Because there is a why for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it either came from you reaching out or someone else giving to you.
Mm-hmm. And then telling them, you're on my grateful list.
You were on my grateful list last night.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it your happiness journal or your future life journal or gratitude journal, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just going through that, some people, there's different theories on that, of course. Some people feel like it needs to be done every night. Some people like to do it every night. But even if you only do it once a week or twice a week, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oprah, she does a journal writing every day, right?
A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do and find it very, very, very helpful. I've tried, and I can do this because it's short.
Mm-hmm.
But writing and writing and writing and writing, like some people do, hasn't worked well for me. I have many journals I've started and never finished.
Right. Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I have to have it right there.
Yeah.
In order to do that.
Right.
And then
a couple other things I wanted to say about, you know, because when we talk about, besides our bodies changing, which obviously is huge and there's not a whole lot we can do about it,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things that women our age go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, divorce. And women, statistically, divorces that happen over 50 are initiated by women.
Ah.
And I think a lot of the theory behind that is that we've raised our kids, I did my job as a mom, and now they're off and they're on their own, and I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But just because that happens, just because we initiate something like that, doesn't mean that it's easy.
Right.
It's still stepping out into a whole new place that we've never been before.
Absolutely.
So we still need all those tools. We still need the support. We still, you know, I think a lot of times people think that, well, if you initiated it, then it's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true.
Right.
There's always loss in it. Because obviously there were some things good enough to keep you in that relationship when the kids were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but having the children leave, having your kids leave and go off to college,
that's a huge one
for a lot of people. You know, if you're one of those women that have just wrapped your whole life around your children, having them leave is very traumatic.
Right, because that is a process too. It's a long transition. It's a process, and your body's going through something at that time too. So it's a whole different thing to a whole different lifestyle.
Well, and transition is really, it's a real psychological reorientation. So that people have to go through it in order for things to become different. So it doesn't start with a new situation. The ending piece comes first. And that's what I was going to bring up, is there's three phases in transition, whether it's divorce or empty nest, or the loss of a parent, or a loss of a spouse, or a loss of a job, loss of our little bodies that we had when we were in our 20s.
Right.
The first phase is that there's an ending. So like in a divorce, there's an ending of a marriage. In an empty nest, it's a ending of the children being at home with you every single day.
Right.
Loss of a parent or a spouse, it's a loss of having, the ending of having that person in your life. So you have to do that one first, which a lot of people don't think that, that it's backwards and it doesn't make any sense. But if you really look at it, that's where it had to start. It starts with the ending. And then you get to the neutral zone.
Okay, can I come back to the ending?
Sure.
How do you deal with the ending? Because that is different. You're going to do the ending first. So how would you... Do you grieve it, or what do you do with that?
Yeah, it's like you do grieve it with any of those things. I mean, even your kids go to college, that there's a grief process that you go through. And sometimes it feels like there's this wall or this barrier that blocks our path, and we feel like we can't get over it, we can't get around it. It may feel like a really big hole in our life, and that's when we look for ways to get over it or around it. And people don't understand that we do get over it. We do get around it. We do get through it. You know, in the example of someone dying, it's not just letting go of the person or the marriages. Those are the changes, because those are the one-time things, remember?
Uh-huh. Yes.
But to cross over the line into transition, it's figuring out what inner relinquishments you need to make because of the change. How do you now get your needs met? Mm-hmm. You know, because something has changed, which part of you are now is out of date and needs to be looked at and addressed, as this is your future. So if you lose your job, what do you need to let go of? You need to let go of your regular income, the colleagues and friends you had at job, that it was a place to go every day, as part of your identity, you know, that they joke about who you are without your business card.
Mm-hmm.
when you're asked, what do? What do you say if you're not working anymore? And it sounds like it could be simple, but it's not. That can be very difficult for people.
Right.
So you hit that neutral zone where it's kind of nowhere, like a nowhere zone. And the thing that people need to realize is that that's normal.
Okay.
Everybody goes through that. You can't skip that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the grieving process. You may do them, some take longer than others, but it's a process that has to be gone through. So once you get through the neutral zone, then you hit number three, which is the new beginning. So what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do about finding a new job or accepting that I'm a single woman now, whether it's because of a divorce or because of the death of a spouse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for a successful transition, you have to go through each of those. So when it comes to our bodies, you know, what is the time for us to let go of?
Mhm. And we're sort of grieving the ending of our young bodies.
Well, then the good news is, though, it doesn't happen overnight, right?
Right.
I mean,
it takes about 5 to 7 years, and you don't even know your. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it just sort of happens, and then you look at a picture of you like 5 or 10 years ago, and it's like, wow.
what happened to that, huh?
But it is, you know, it is a question of what is it time to let go of. And even by asking that question, it opens up a path that you can follow. It may not be a path that you want to follow, but given the physical changes that are going on in our bodies, we don't have a whole lot of choice. They're going to happen whether we want them to or not.
Right, and we might as well be joyful about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are our options? We can moan and groan and whine, and then no one wants to be around us, and
right. We
probably can't even stand ourselves at that point. or we can be proactive and take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways to do that. And do they take energy sometimes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of things I could have done besides going to the gym this morning. But I feel so much better, and I knew that I would be so much better on this call if I went to the gym than if I hadn't.
Right.
You know, because it just gives you energy. You drive home feeling really good that you did something for yourself. And I knew that that was a piece of me doing this call with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you were saying earlier when we were talking that you have an offer or something to tell the people on the call. So do you want to talk about that?
I do. I have a tips booklet. Are you familiar with tips booklets?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love them.
I wrote one. Yeah, they're cool to have. And I've had one. I did this a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 103 tips for your future, creating the best for you and your life after your career. Of course, now I could probably redo the whole thing. People, but maybe I could make it say after your current career, since so many of us are in the process of changing jobs. But I still think there's a lot of valuable information in this. And if you go onto my website, you can see I sell it for the PDF download is $5, and to get the real physical tips booklet is $10, because, of course, it's shipping and I have to do that and everything. But what I will offer for your group, Leela, is to – this will be my gift to people.
Excellent.
We all like gifts. But what I need, I didn't have a link or anything set up for it. So what I need to do is to just have people email me at kim@positiveaginginc.com. That's kim@positiveaginginc.com. And I need your name. You have to have all these things for me to do this. But it's better this way because it's typed, because a lot of times I can't read people's handwriting.
Right.
So your name, your email address, the address that you want me to send this tips booklet to, and your phone number just in case I have any questions.
Okay. And, you know, Carol is really good at she takes wonderful notes, and then she sends there will be a recording that you can download and listen to of this conversation. It'll be up for, once she gets the recording up online, and we will be sending it to everybody, and then it'll be up for 24 hours, and she's did some really wonderful things with our speaker yesterday on Tuesday, and so she will probably have this address and all that information. So it's Kim, and so you'll be sent it again just in case you didn't have a pencil around or couldn't write it down. So here we are. We'll repeat that again just in case you want to do it right now, and it's kim@positiveaginginc.com, and you need their name for the free gift. You need their name, their email address, and what else?
Their home address.
Home address.
Send a product to an email address.
That's
the home address or work address, whatever suits your fancy.
Oh, and you're going to actually mail it to them.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was a download, but that's wonderful.
No, I'm going to send them the.
They
can feel it, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I need the home address.
Okay.
And also a phone number, just in case I have any questions about the address or something.
And phone number. Okay, excellent. So any other things you want to mention to us about anything or in wrapping this up?
Well, I just really appreciate the opportunity to do this. You've got a lot of wonderful speakers. You've got a lot of wonderful listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not interested in getting the the tips booklet, that's fine. If you're interested in being on my email list, then please just go to my website at www.positiveaginginc.com. I do have a couple programs that will be opening up in 2010. One is the Magical Women Inner Coaching Circle, which is a platinum program, and one is a program for therapists and other heart-centered solopreneurs that would like to build a high five or six-figure coaching business.
Oh, okay.
So that there's two different programs.
So they have to be, and one of them, they have to be a coach or a therapist?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be a therapist, but somebody who wants to build a coaching business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other one is going to be?
So it's like one's a business program and one's a personal program.
Personal, okay.
Yeah.
And then they don't have to be a coach for that.
No.
And can you, I know what a platinum program is, but I don't think a lot of people do.
It's a 6 to 8 month program. People do them differently. Some people do them for 12 months. They're usually, mine will be very small group. I probably won't have more than 6 or 8 people. Because I think that helps in creating a good sense of community with people.
Uh-huh.
There are training calls, mastermind calls, online forums, a lot of personal attention, a whole lot of value. I like giving gifts, so there will be gifts included. I don't know what they will be yet for that, but there will be some. And there will be, for both of them, will be a half-day virtual retreat, which would be on the phone. Well, it's just a whole lot of wonderful experiences, learning experiences, and personal experiences.
Great. For people that are wanting to improve their personal life or their professional life and make more money.
Right. You know, and it's to me, it feels a lot different than just one-to-one coaching that a lot of us have been doing a lot of that doesn't always have a real focus. This is very focused and spelled
mm-hmm.
out, and you will know what you're doing for the next 6 or 8 months.
And you will hold their hand and...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hold your hand and push you at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, and you've just got a whole boatload of information and ideas for people that are for us to do our transitions into a new, productive, fun, sensual life.
Excellent.
Making money. Well, thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you, Leela. I appreciate the time, and it was wonderful meeting you.
Okay, and good luck on those talks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.